station will be working next year in a new location, and they have to come out of this basement. They've been in this basement for far too long. It's time to come out of the basement. Everything's on the up and up. Don't you dare miss it.
Please be advised that this program is being monitored to ensure compliance with Canadian broadcast codes and regulation.
This program contains scenes of violence, coarse language, and mature subject matter. Viewer discretion is advised.
Mr. Johnny Carson. I've known Don for about 8 years, and like most performers, Don has probably thousands of acquaintances, professional people, that he knows. But he's also one of the people who has close friends, and I would imagine that Don could count his very close friends on the fingers of both hands, true? And by friends, I mean people that you can relate to, you can confide to, and realize no matter what you say, that it's going to be kept in confidence. And I like to feel that I am one, I don't want to speak for Don, that I am one of his very close friends. And I think that's important to Don, because queers need friends.
Wonderful. Ooh, quite what a fill, Don. That's a good joke. That's a good fill, Don.
Let's get it out in the open. I'm happy to appear at this luncheon with Friars to honor Don, if it'll prevent him from becoming a member of this club. We got enough f***ing running around up in that place. Now, I don't want to leave you the impression today that Don was born with these tendencies. I'm sure that most of you know that sometimes people can be born with genetic construction that gives them homosexual tendencies. Other people become homosexual because of a traumatic experience in their life, and such is the case with Don. About 8 years ago, when I first met Don, now Don's early in his years, and yet he's bald. And yet when I first saw him, his entire top of his head was covered with thick, curly, black hair. He was going down on Kay Armon. Now let's discuss Mr. Rickles, the entertainer. Once again, we have to separate fact from myth. Now, I've seen Don entertain, I suppose, 50 times, and I've always enjoyed his joke. But when you see Don's act, which incidentally has all the subtlety of an elephant's prick, people say, does he really ad-lib? You hear he's fast. It's sixth sense. On a stage is one thing, but what is he like among his peers, his comedians, when he's sitting around a table? I've been with him many, many occasions. Believe me, he couldn't ad-lib a fart after a Boston baked bean dinner. And now this schmuck wants to become an actor. 62 television appearances he's made this year alone. One was the star of a whole hour segment on A Run for Your Life, and word is going around that he may be up for an Emmy. Rickles is spreading the word mainly himself. It was a dramatic show, and I saw that particular episode. Dramatically, it was about as thrilling as watching Kate Smith take a douche.
This is CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Next, the connection in color.
Oh, yeah.
Bite me.
Well, I tell you what, I've had about enough of Jaw as I can take, even though they don't call him that in the United States. Or I didn't hear him called that while I was there in the company I was in. Yes, I actually visited the... I visited south of the border for the first time in 2 years.
Fat Lesbians of America.
And I didn't see that particular group. But, and they are...
Why not?
Because I wasn't... I think they're in some other city that I was in. I was in Cleveland, Ohio.
Is this your problem?
I had to go to a funeral of a very a good friend of mine, who John Gibble. And John was 56 and died last Saturday. No laughing matter. No laughing matter at all.
I don't know.
It's a lot of insensitivity here at this station. Among certain people. Are you there? Is Daniel Bechert there?
I'm on one.
Yeah, okay.
I have clips.
Of the funeral?
No.
Oh.
Insensitivity.
Oh, okay.
That was and starting off the show this morning.
Oh yes,
we had Johnny Carson died, he died last week.
What did he die from?
I don't know. I think he died from telling those bad jokes.
Oh, those really horrible.
Those really bad jokes. That was Johnny working clean. So anyway.
The great experience in my life, and I cannot imagine finding something after I leave tonight in television that would give me as much joy and pleasure and a sense of exhilaration as this show has given me. It's just very hard to explain. So I am one of the lucky people in the world. I found something I always wanted to do, and I have enjoyed every single minute of it.
Oh, yes, especially the part where I beat my wife.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Johnny.
I'm in hell now.
I'm
down here with Satan.
Well, actually, I'm doing a talk show this week with Richard Nixon and LBJ.
Yes.
I'm trying to get Truman on there, but he's being a bit difficult. And he's going on Jack Parr's show.
Oh.
If Jack Parr's down here too. And Truman did Jack Parr. So my producer, Freddie DeCordova, who used to do the Jack Benny show.
Yeah.
He told me that Truman won't do the show. He can't do the show.
Yes.
Because he already did Parr's show down here.
Hey-o!
We're waiting for Merv to come down.
Hey-o! Hey-o!
Yes. Yes, we're waiting for Merv. I need to see that lining again.
That lining.
Everything I said about Rickles could be said legitimately about Merv. Anyway.
Hey-o!
Okay, last week we weren't here. There was a big power failure about 10 minutes before we got into the studio that precluded you from hearing our program.
Yes.
So you're going to hear last week's program this week, in sort of. Now, we're expecting guests. Evidently, the guests were here, but because we weren't here...
Somebody's here.
They are here.
Go around and say hello to Greg.
Hey, we've actually got people. Okay.
Hold on. Here's what happened. Hey. Speaking of power outages.
Yeah, let me arrange the guests. You take it away, Dan.
Here's what happened on the Ron Anisich show. The big problem show over there on Wednesday night, Thursday mornings, the Please Kill Me show, or now known as The Bitter End. A really horrible little program. Here's the host, Ron Anisich, talking about well, us in particular.
Quite come in right, depending on where you are and depending on the day. We had a big power outage downtown on Sunday.
Yes, freezing pipes or something.
Yes, and it affected a number of a popular CKLN programs and the international connection.
Yeah.
Was that about us?
Yeah, this stupid moron, Ron Anisich, decides to throw a joke his way that somehow that our program is not a popular program here on Sunday mornings.
Wait a minute, yeah. Can you play that again?
You want to hear that
Yeah,
again?
I want to hear that.
This is talking about the power outage that we had last week.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That, by the way, went off at 8:22 in the morning.
Wait, come in right, depending on where you are. Depending on the day. We had a big power outage downtown on Sunday.
Yes, freezing pipes or something.
Yes, and it affected a number of popular CKLN programs. And the international connection.
Oh. You hear that slight? It's Ron Anisich.
Yeah, he used to be our friend.
Yeah, now he's gone all anti-Stalinist. Listen to this.
Yeah.
I believe if I remember the lessons of history right, when you start talking like that, you get thrown in jail and branded a what do you call that? A communist.
Right. Speaking of communists.
Yes.
In Poland, the ex-communist regime.
Yes.
I can't think of the guy's name. It was something Urban.
Okay.
Anyways, he's a journalist, old world communist. Points of view that he holds.
Uh-huh.
Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, so it didn't work out that great under Stalin.
No, but I mean, communism a bad name, you see. It was
didn't work out that great under Stalin.
No, he only beat Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the greatest war hero that the Soviet Union has ever had. I can't believe
he was
this.
The leader.
Yeah.
How can we...
Name a better anarchist leader. I dare you to name one. There isn't one. There isn't one at all that's even as great and as magnificent as Stalin was.
This is like the Fred Allen, Jack Benny feud, isn't it?
Then
look that one up.
At the beginning of the program.
Yes. Was there more?
This is what he said.
Oh.
Fight for the better end.
Or so we say, although somebody earlier tonight told me that I never do anything that I say I'm going to do. Well, I suppose that's fair. If you're a f***ing moron. Hey, welcome to the show.
That's me,
I'm
by
Ron
the
in.
Way.
Really?
I told Ron that he doesn't do anything that he says.
Oh.
I have heard Ron.
Well, that's
Ron.
A sly suggestion. That's a really inside joke, huh?
Yes, it
is. That's low and inside.
Because he doesn't actually tell anyone. He's so afraid of actually telling his audience. He's so fearful of his audience knowing the truth about us. Because we're, of course, more popular than even he is. And
right.
He's been here for 15 years. That we have, that he called me an effing moron on his own program without actually referring to it at the beginning of his program.
Hmm.
Now, we were talking about more this last week on CKLN.
This is the inside of the program. We have guests. I'll introduce them in a moment.
Here is at the beginning of Frameline.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. I got an email from Stuart. Yeah.
All right. This is Cinephobia. This is Stuart Feedback Andrews, your host, and... You were just listening to the lovely folks over on the CKLN's Sunday morning talk show, The International Connection, relentlessly taking the piss out of my Liverpudlian accent.
He's referring to the show where Shannon was here during our vacation time.
Right.
Where we talked about cinephobia.
Yes.
Which is quite...
He played, actually, the clip.
An interesting experience to listen to yourself get ridiculed in this manner. To tell you the truth, it's... slightly traumatic, but what can you do? It's not my fault I have such a lovely Scouse accent, and it's obvious to me that they're quite jealous. They all know that all I have to do to make a woman weak in the knees is whisper softly in her ear irrelevant words like butter tart. You know, unfortunately for them, they have to work a lot harder than that, especially Daniel. So,
look at
that. Imagine. Can you imagine whispering in a woman's ear? Real World Film Festival.
He uses my genetic predisposition of ugliness against me. How can he do that?
Yeah, it's vicious. There's a lot of viciousness going on. And you mentioned
a rant about how strange the Canadian accent sounds to us Liverpudlians, but we really don't have time for that.
But so he's finally decided to do what we love to do. Here, listen to this.
Okay.
Okay, so you've been listening to
Cinephobia.
I want to thank Mario for being my guest today.
Then he did it again. Listen to this.
Okay.
You can email us.
Dina Fabian.
At ckln.fm. Xenophobia at ckln.fm.
He actually, what he's doing is he's actually doing what we always tell people to do, to use our voices.
Yeah,
he's
to take clips from our program.
And edit it into other people's programs. Here he's calling us bastards.
In Toronto, we forgot to mention why you're here exactly.
I'm teaching at U of T. I'm teaching a course on globalization and theology.
Very interesting. Yeah. Maybe the International Connection guys would like to talk to you about that. Those bastards. All right, stay tuned. Moondog's ball.
Anyway, so
he's in that stage of the friendly feud, I think. Oh, hold on. You mentioned Shannon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do something about Shannon?
it takes a while over here on this side. It just takes a little while.
Shannon's gone off the boat. She's drifting off the sea.
I'm Shannon Robinson. I'm Shannon Robinson.
Okay. That's
I'm
it.
Shannon Robinson.
Okay.
The show that you're listening to right now is the International Connection radio show, heard every Sunday morning from 8:30 to 10:30 here on CKLN 88.1 FM. I'm the co-host, Daniel Beshert. Sitting across the glass from me is Greg Duffel, the host. In the studio, we have guests this morning, but before we get to them, we still have more house cleaning to do.
That's
Don't
right.
worry, we have
We to- weren't there last
we
week.
We weren't here last week.
The guests were going to come in. There was some attempt to get the guests in last week. It would have been completely futile for them to come in because we had a complete power outage.
To phone here this morning, you can phone us at 416-595-1655. CKLN is online at www.ckln.fm. We are online at members.rogers.com/International Connection. New to the CKL or to the International Connection website are, you can go and see the FunFest 2004 video of Andy taking a tour throughout the CKLN studio during FunFest. You can also see CKLN's Satan Takes a Holiday host, Miss Barbara Fish, on her appearance on Much More Music Solicited. You can see photos from the CKLN annual general meeting just this last couple of weeks ago, which we went to. You can take a photo tour of this CKLN studio, the old studio, the one that we're in now, before we make our big move. And you can see photos from the CKLN December 2004 party. This is all available on the CKLN or International Connection website at members.rogers.com/International Connection. Also there, you can join CCCP or the Comrades Community Chat Portal where you can chat with us this morning live and in person. And let me check to make sure.
Hey, I haven't got up on that yet.
No, well, you are. But
I know. I'm in another locale.
You're in the other location. Yeah.
We're going to have big changes to the internet sphere, hopefully, over the next few weeks.
I'd also like to welcome a new program to CKLN called Dig Deeper Docs. I'm not sure if you've heard of this. This is from 11:30 till 12 Sunday mornings. Get beyond the headlines with focused, in-depth, and creative documentaries and powerful speeches. For information about how to program with this show, you can contact CKLN. They are running from...
What show is that? When is it on?
11:30 to 12. It's called...
Oh, okay. It's called Dig Deeper Docs. DDD.
Which, by the way, is really...
DDD.
Which, by the way, is a really bad
name.
That's
a good show.
Yeah?
Triple D. Uh-huh. I almost did a joke about it at that in the Rickles monologue at the roast. Uh-huh. Yes.
Who are you commenting about?
I have absolutely no idea. CKLN, you're on the air. Uh-huh.
Long distance charge from Ed McMahon. Will you accept the charge? You're not putting him on.
Hold on. I gotta get it. You better do that again.
This is a long distance charge from Ed McMahon in Los Angeles. It's just before 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just calling to see if Johnny Carson is gonna be on your show later today.
Yes, Ed. Nice to hear from you, from the living part of the world.
Hey-oh!
Oh, it's so good to hear that again.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know,
I thought you hated each other.
I did not know that.
As long as
I did not know that.
John Carson,
yes?
As long as I was allowed to peddle Elpo dog food on your show, everything went well. I made a lot of coin with the Elpo dog food I was peddling.
Yes, and you remember that time that I came over and actually ate the Elpo?
Yes, you got down in a doggy-style fissure, and you put your mouth right in the bowl. That was very good.
Yes.
You know what I'm doing now, Ed? I'm having meaningless, reckless sex with women and enjoying it all over Toronto.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read that off of Ron Anisich's weblog. I'm terribly sorry.
Listen, I got to go. I'm meeting Dom DeLuise for breakfast later this morning. So I got to go. But also, listen, John. That's all for now, John.
Well, Ed, thank you, John.
We miss you.
Ed, make sure he doesn't eat you at breakfast. Thank you, Ed.
We miss you, John.
Well, I know I will
come
be missed.
Come back, John. Come back.
I know I will be missed.
Oh, God.
Oh, Ed, very, very distraught there. Yes. Oh. Paul Anka made so much effing money from that. Jeez.
Oh. And I make
you know I don't you know now that I'm down in hell I don't think I have to work clean anymore. CKLN, you're on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tonight Show, where Johnny's guests are Alan Alda, Tom DeLuise, Chevy Chase, Tiny Tim, and special guest star Phyllis Diller. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Yes, it's so nice to be on a station that can be completely thrown off the air by a power outage. Oh. Yes. It's so nice after being on the NBC television network with 400 affiliates across the United States. It's so nice to be on a station with 250 watts of radiating power.
Being reduced.
It's like being back in the smallest town in Nebraska. Ugh.
You know what they used to do on this show? When I was having one of those nights,
we did it. You kept moving
the clock back.
Yeah.
You'd be sitting here. This one, when it was an hour and a half, you'd have some guy on talking about his book.
Every time John would look away,
I'd see the clock and I'd say, "My God, I've been talking to this man for 7 minutes and only 2 minutes has gone by."
Do you know that they're actually replacing the hip-hop show on Saturdays between 1 to 4 p.m.
No.
On CKLN?
Really?
This is your chance to carry the legacy of the first and longest-running hip-hop show time slot in T-Dot, I guess it's Toronto, airing every Saturday between 1 and 4 p.m. Starting in February, CKLN will be running auditions to see who has the skills and knowledge to represent hip-hop on Toronto's premier underground
We should
stage.
Do that.
I think we should do that.
Why don't we do that? I could do that. I'm pretty up on that kind of music, surprisingly.
Are you?
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Arkansas in the United States.
Oh, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hold on.
Daniel's starting to do an audition for that show between 1 and 4 on Saturdays. Go ahead, please. Speak to me from Arkansas. Yes, hello.
Can she hear?
Hi. Are you going to have my son on today?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Which is
Cliff.
Cliff's here. Cliff's sitting right beside me, right? Aren't you,
Hi,
Cliff?
Hi.
There's Cliff's mom. Okay, it's time.
His voice since we dropped him off in Windsor.
Okay, now just I want to hold on, mother.
Okay.
Because what's your name?
Actually, Annie.
Pardon?
Annie.
Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Danny. Danny is the mother of Cliff, and Cliff is sitting beside me. Annie. Was it Annie? Oh, Annie, I'm sorry. Annie is the mother of Cliff, and Cliff is a young man sitting beside me here. And I also have Daryl. Is your mother likely to phone in?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Could we phone your mother?
Yeah.
All right, we might phone your mother. Seems only fair.
If I had known that, I could have saved money.
Now, are you listening on the Internet?
Well, the Internet show has last week's show on.
What? No. You
radio.
No,
or the Internet. Yeah.
Okay, you can actually go and listen. I'm sure. Go. How did you do it?
The Johnny Carson stuff is new, by the way.
This is.
Here I am. Okay. She's
listening to the right show.
I think you're listening to the right show. It's just that it's we're in a delay. You're delayed down there.
You've got 3
right?
minutes.
Of course. It's
about
America.
It's about 3. Yeah, you're getting things late. So now, Annie, you should be very proud because I have with you on our program esteemed guests. We don't often have guests on the program because no one will ever
come on the show.
We've tried to get guests, but they don't come on. But I have two
basement.
Yeah, two gentlemen from the United States, and they've done the right thing. They, instead of going to murder people in Iraq, they have seen the light, and they're up here in Canada. And they're with us now, and because Bush said, if you're not with us, you're with the terrorists, so you're in the Axis of Evil Radio Network. Welcome, gentlemen. And Cliff, if you want to sit a little bit closer to the microphone.
Now, we're going to get to your story at around 9:30, because that's when we have most of our listeners come. That's the peak of our listenership. This is the time when listeners to the show right now can realize that we have two U.S. Army deserters. That would be what we call you?
Yes.
Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use a pejorative with you.
War resistors?
I can't hear them. You got to turn that mic up.
Yeah, okay, sorry. We're not used to you. Okay.
Do test.
Okay, test.
Test.
Good,
okay,
good. That was Daryl. Now, and Cliff, will you test so that your mother can hear you?
Test.
That's Annie, that's your son. Is it nice to hear him?
Yeah.
We're going to take pictures today, too. So we'll put them up on our website so that you can see your.
Or do they want to go up on
your son? Oh, do you want to go up on the?
Do
you
want
to be seen?
Photos?
I guess I can make an appearance.
Like you were on the Toronto Sun. You were on the front page of the Toronto Sun yesterday, weren't you, Daryl?
Yeah,
that's pretty. Yeah. That's
yeah,
pretty
no,
visible.
No one will see it on our website. Yeah. Don't worry.
That's pretty visible. This is the time that listeners realizing that we have war resistors on our air can phone all of their friends. And or their enemies, their political enemies, and tell them that we, the Axis of Evil Radio Network show, the International Connection here on CKLN, have war resistors on here. And it's doing in total part to a fantastic listener of ours. And I will get clear during the commercials at 9:30 whether this listener wants his name mentioned. I'm not sure how secretive all this has to be. You know, the Israeli government, we often find links between the Israeli government and the U.S. government. On our program, and
we're the link, by the way.
yeah, we're and the Israeli government has a habit, or has done in the past, go and kidnap people from certain areas and extraterritorially deport them illegally. And so we don't want to give any information away that may allow the U.S. government to come and do the same here, because evidently there were Texas troopers.
Yeah.
Hailing people down on the road as suspected drug dealers, Texas troopers in British Columbia. So we have, somehow our government has allowed U.S. law enforcement officials to be here and actually apprehend people within our borders. So as part of, they give all sorts of excuses as to why this is appropriate, the RCMP, but the RCMP settled out of court. So we do realize the necessity, legitimately here, I'm not kidding, that our friends have to be careful about their situation. But so what we're going to do...
In fact, I was kidnapped just last week by the Israeli government.
Actually, I was kidnapped. I went down to the United States.
Yeah, well,
I almost got sent over to Iraq.
If you choose, it's not kidnapped.
Oh, okay, I see.
That's the difference.
I see. Okay, so this is what we're going to do this morning. Hold on, I got to check why I'm overloading here.
Thank you to all those who joined us for the CCCP opening chat. We had problems with that within an hour within the opening of.
Yeah, because we didn't have the channel secure.
So you can go online. You can read that. By the way, also Prisoner Justice Day program, or Prisoner Justice Film Festival, I think, is coming up. I suggested that Ron Anisich should join that. My experiences in jail. Yeah.
So is, Daniel...
It's really nasty.
So the real frequency is leaving CKLN? Are they going professional or something?
I ain't got no motherfucker.
All right. West side. Okay. You know who the realest is. It's my winner,
I don't know. I don't know where they're going, but I think that they're holding auditions this month to see who has the skills.
Because that's what happened. The guy, I think DJ X.
Mm. Yes.
DJ X left the show, I believe, and went over to the Flow a few years ago, and that left a hole in the schedule whereby the Real Frequency came in and impressed our program director so much that they got the gig there for few years.
January 28th was your last day to drop off your demo tape.
Are they finished now? Is that
no? The demo tapes.
Yeah. Is the Real Frequency going to continue?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I think so. I think technically February. They say here that February will be the time of auditions.
A new crew.
And the finalists will be chosen by our illustrious panel.
You know, we should do that.
Go to air live 1-hour audition during the month of February.
We should do that.
Daniel, we'll work on that next week.
We should submit a tape?
Yeah, I think we should.
I think we should do a whole live one next week. The first hour of the show should be our audition.
Our audition.
Why not?
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
That'd be funny.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, I've forgotten about Annie here. Annie on the phone.
Is she still there?
Annie, are you still there?
Do you want to phone her back?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Do you want to phone
her
back? We can phone her back, and she doesn't have to pay long distance.
Okay.
Oh, I would love that.
Are you able to listen on the internet? Are you hearing our program?
Yeah, it's just a little delayed.
Okay.
All right.
It's easier to hear you guys in the...
Tell her to continue listening there.
Why don't you continue listening there? If you have any trouble, just call back.
Okay.
All right, and...
We might phone you.
Yeah, let me... Daniel, have you got something you can vamp with, and I'll talk to Annie off the air.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'll finish this. So that was the CCCP grand opening. By the way, the Iraqi elections are being held today. We recommend everyone elect the Communist Party of... your microphone is still on. I can hear him through... Anyway, it doesn't matter. So that's the Communist Party of Iraq. We strongly recommend you vote for them. And if they have, by the way... We're big in the Baathist radio network in Iraq. We're heard all across Iraq. But the problem is that I recommend that if you have the fill-in vote, that you put in Saddam Hussein. Because we only think that the best solution for Iraq is Saddam Hussein.
This one's okay.
There's no other way that we can possibly solve Iraq's problems without bringing back Saddam. He was the best leader. There's no other leader in Saddam. There's no other leader. Even Condoleezza Rice, or Condoleezzy Rice, agrees with me with regards to... You can hear the. Can you hear the leak of his microphone coming in? It's crazy. It's horrible. You know, I could hear your entire conversation over that microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I couldn't concentrate on what I was talking about. I was telling people in the Baathist radio network in Iraq to vote for either the Communist Party of Iraq or in the fill-in, the blank fill-in section to put
CKLN
Saddam Hussein.
88.1. You're on the air.
This is the day it goes from bullets to ballots. Vote once and make your vote count.
Oh.
From bullets to ballots. We've come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Bullets to ballots.
Well, yeah, like a 3-second transition, supposedly. It's bullets and ballots. You know, I saw Geraldo. I'll bring that in next week. It was hilarious seeing Geraldo on Fox News talking about what a great day it was. And he had all these people so enthusiastic and saying, the turnout is amazing. And Geraldo turns and shows this area, and there's absolutely nobody. There's like a couple of people walking around. You just see a couple of people at the polling booths. And he's going, the turnout's amazing.
I predict that Saddam Hussein will win.
I wonder if there's a write-in candidate.
That's what I'm recommending to all our listeners in Iraq who listen over the Axis of Evil satellite radio network.
Well, really, I mean, he's the only guy that can maintain order there, obviously. The United States government can't do it.
Sure, even Condoleezza Rice agrees with that. I mean, when she's my biggest supporter with Saddam, you know I'm right. I know I'm right.
So do you think this is heretical, what you're hearing here? How do you guys feel about... Now, only one of you was over in Iraq.
Yes,
right?
I was in Iraq for 7 months.
7 months.
7 months.
And where were you?
Baghdad, Iraq.
Baghdad.
Yeah, Adamiya is the little part of Baghdad.
Nice country?
Used to be is what they tell me when I was over there.
Yeah.
Who told you that?
The Iraqi people.
Yeah?
You have contact with some interpreters and whatnot. Talk about how the army destroyed Baghdad pretty much.
Yeah. Here, I'll make you, let's see if I can make you feel at home.
He has sound effects.
Yeah, let's see if I have to make
sense. So what was what did you see there when you were there? What was the worst? What was the most? Let's leave the most memorable thing. But let's leave that for the moment. Let's do what we were going to do last week. We'll get into the interview soon.
Hold on, they're at home now.
Oh, okay. It sound like this?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Hold on. I forgot the one thing. I got to add this in.
CKLN 88.1. You're on the air.
Hello, you moron.
Hold on.
Babies crying in the background. Anyway,
okay.
I'm just calling in to give my plug for Saddam.
Yes.
Before the vigilante attack, the preemptive strike, the U.S., the Iraq had the best infrastructure of any of the Middle Eastern states, and then they had the best growth in human and social conditions there. And that's all been wiped out by the Fourth Reich.
How dare you? You know that Israel was the best state in the Middle East.
Oh, and
you can't.
Did you have trouble with the HSS when you were crossing the border?
Are you asking the guests?
No.
Yeah. Oh,
me?
Greg.
Yeah. No. I'd be flattered. Actually, I'm very glad that I didn't. I dreaded going down, to be honest. I've gone down enough times where this is long before I did the radio program and long before anyone out there might even think that I could be considered some kind of dissident. I had more trouble before I did this radio program. And I don't want trouble.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm going to a friend's funeral. I heard a lot of interesting things when I was down there. I was only down there for 2 days. The one thing I saw that I was very surprised at was that when I went, surprised with, was when the bus goes from Toronto to Buffalo, over the border at Fort Erie, then I get on another bus and go to Cleveland, and it stops in Erie, Pennsylvania. And although I had gone through Customs and Immigration in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I've been through there many, many, many times, countless times, for the first time, a Border Patrol agent got on the bus and started asking everybody on the bus what their citizenship or nationality was.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before. Two guys stationed at this little tiny bus station. It's not even a bus station, really. It's just like a little shack in Erie, Pennsylvania. And now Bush was going to be in Cleveland the next day. I don't know whether this had anything to do with it, but a guy who I talked to, who traveled that route many times, says over the last 2 months he's seen Border Patrol agents in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Hired all those people, and now they got to keep them employed, so they're going to be always out there.
Yeah, and another person I was speaking to, I was telling, I was at the reception after the funeral, and a woman that I, who's an acquaintance of mine, was sitting at the table I was at, and I started talking about the problems I had had in the past getting into the United States. Again, not related, I don't think, to any of my political beliefs.
Yeah.
And she said that she was on a no-fly list.
Yeah.
And I asked her what her last name was, and it was obvious that the name was from the Balkan region.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a 40-odd, 40 years old, between 40 and 50, and every time she goes to the airport now, she's taken aside. They put her through the whole security thing just because of her last name.
Yeah.
Now, that to me, it's astounding. There's so many.
Well, they did that Ted Kennedy 3 or 4 times, and then he raised hell.
That's right. I told her to get in touch with the greatest Croatian-American alive, Denis Kucinich, their congressman, and get in touch with him have him get right on it.
Uh-huh. Another thing, well, people in this country don't realize is if you've been arrested and you've gone to court, even if you've been given a conditional discharge,
uh-huh,
have a record. Your name has been on files of police records. If Canadian police forces have shared any information with the U.S., your name's permanently in their databanks.
Yeah.
If your name has been printed in a newspaper, that's available to anybody. So even though you might think, I've got an unconditional discharge, you've got a record. And so you want to think about that when you cross the border.
Yeah, you got to be really careful. I mean, I had to pull out of my billfold a business card from the Cuban consul.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had gone through my effects and found that, I think I would have been in big trouble.
That whether you think you've got the right to refuse them.
Well, you know, Greg, the problem was that you were wearing, that you had livestock, seeds, plants, cocaine, and other drugs with you while you were crossing. You can't do that.
Oh,
yeah.
When you talk about seeds, Iraqi farmers who have saved their own seeds to replant, they're not going to be allowed to do that.
Oh, they've got to use genetically modified seeds?
Of course. Monsanto rules. How dare you,
not necessarily, sir? GMO, but they have to buy their seed from one of those agro corporations.
Oh,
Monsanto,
very good.
Monsanto is the best.
Price.
Monsanto very good.
Is okay, the best.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Don't you dare call in here and say bad things about Monsanto.
Okay, now, what we're going to do...
They're a godsend.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to go through some material that we didn't get to last week. Now, Cliff, Daryl, anytime you want to pipe up, and, you know, I don't know what your politics are, and I don't... It's not that I don't care.
What are you?
It's what am you? I?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that.
Please,
officially.
Be,
what?
Be proud of your Stalinist roots.
All right, okay. I'm a communist. And and it's looking more right every day.
Either two of you ever met a communist before?
No.
No,
okay.
This is your first time.
Thank you.
Is he human?
Thanks.
Does he look
normal enough to me?
Does he look human?
Yeah.
And I'm and of
Actually,
course going
he's
along
worse.
With.
He's communist and he's part British.
That's pretty bad. So and okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna go through the last week's stuff, and it's they got tons of stuff. Now we're gonna get to you. And we're gonna get to your story, but I think it'd be interesting to get any reactions you have to anything that we're doing, anything we're saying, anything you're hearing on these clips. You can be completely candid with us. You're in a you're on a free radio station.
Yeah.
To a large extent, we can say pretty much whatever we want to say. I should,
in fact, yeah. that I think you'll find interesting, or maybe you won't find interesting, but I find it interesting. Laughing does not mean scoffing.
There. So,
there, your commander in chief has told you.
So you're war resistors. So, I mean, basically, you're kind of stuck here for a long time, right? I mean, you're.
Yeah, basically we're on FBI's wanted list and whatnot, so if Canada doesn't take us, we're pretty much screwed. So Canada's it's our home, we're going to be here forever, hopefully.
Well, we're
although
we're...
Agent Stewart has been assigned the Walpole case, he still continues to investigate the Angelino file. Like all agents of the FBI, Stewart handles several non-related cases at the same time.
Better be careful of them. That's pretty bad.
So...
Actually, I wouldn't mind someone like Agent, what's her name, Fox, coming after me. You know, Mulder and Fox. Scully, that's it, Scully.
Definitely,
Agent Scully.
Definitely.
She would be a good...
I'm excited for the people of Iraq. I'm excited for the fact that they are going to have a chance to go to the polls. It's an amazing accomplishment.
My fellow war deserter.
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
He's tired of tyranny. There's just too much tyranny in that country, and we're going to chase tyranny from every four corner of Iraq. We're looking for tyranny.
Yeah, here's actually your commander-in-chief has a message for you.
Appreciate you coming.
So there it is.
He's happy that you're here.
Yeah, he's very happy that you're here. So now you're obviously, you know, there's nothing going to save you down there. You don't have to hold up any false pretenses about your beliefs or your feelings with us or our audience, I don't think. I think we're willing to accept you. So whatever you want to comment about this stuff, again, I don't know what your predisposition is to your politics, what your upbringing is. We'll accept you no matter what it is.
Did you ever hear him drunk?
You don't have to go along with us.
Did you ever hear him drunk?
Oh, here's Bush drunk.
Did you hear him at that? There's a party he attended in 1992. Here he is, George W. Bush, during the running of his father for president. Here he is drunk at a party.
Yes,
anything you know,
only in America. Only in America would a couple like that be allowed to unite. Beautiful people, yes. Beautiful people.
God bless America?
God bless America, yes. This being an election year, you know, they're wonderful people. Fine taxpayers.
This is some guy with a video camera who's interviewing him, and he's like...
Thank you, sir.
He's with this, like, cup of beer just swilling it. It's very funny.
Do I know any stories about him?
Yeah,
no, I don't.
One
no.
Little one.
Very mundane people, but...
No, give me one little story about Jamie.
Very
you
boring.
Know.
Very boring person. But a wonderful person, but very boring.
Any Mike Weiss stories?
Mike Weiss, very boring person. Hates to drink, doesn't like to smoke. All-around kind of guy. Very athletic. Loves to run. Fine golfer.
And Kelly Weiss.
Kelly, very skinny fella. Marathon runner. Hates to drink. Only in America could a guy like him even find work.
And last, but not least, Nancy Weiss.
Nancy Weiss, very slim person. Loves to run marathons. Only in America would anybody call her mom.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Very boring.
Yes, very boring,
boring
person.
Very boring.
Okay, so anyway, you got the idea. I don't know whether you have the idea or not. We're gonna go and we're gonna do some stuff that we had all last week because we didn't do a show last week. Feel free to comment about anything. All right? Is
all
that
right,
okay?
Yeah.
Is that a deal?
Cool.
All right. Dick Cheney, the vice president, was on Imus in the morning.
He's this guy that talks like this. Have you ever heard of Imus? Ever heard of Imus? Ever seen Imus? No? He's a radio guy. He talks like this.
Here's Cheney, and they make a joke about the competitor of Imus, Howard Stern.
Oh. No, I did.
I know you asked me and Howard Stern, but other than that, I'm not sure you asked.
This is about when Bush asked Cheney to be vice president. which if you believe that. Do you believe he asked? Do you think Bush has anything to do with his government at all?
No, it's all plutocracy. It's all run by the rich. So it's if you got the money, you run things. They're all backed by money. That's what makes their decisions.
Who's the richest person in America? It's Bill Gates, right?
Howard Stern.
Who?
Oprah?
Oprah's pretty rich. She's pretty rich.
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Yeah, do these American soldiers realize that the war has been waged on behalf of Israel and not on behalf of the American people?
Did you know that?
You know, I went to war thinking, you know, defend my country, die for my country is what I believed.
Right.
But upon witnessing the killing of innocent people to free them, so the only three people I saw were laid out dead in the street, and to see that young, poor kids are dying for this money is... Yeah. So for Israel or for money, I believe money's the thing in hand.
Money. Big money.
Yep.
Yeah. I can hear myself echoing.
Yeah, because really cool. I've got to keep them.
I know. I don't think they can hear me.
I got to keep them up so that they can hear Dan. Yeah, so they haven't been exposed to knowing the links, the mysterious links between the United States and the Israeli government. And like, did you see any evidence? Did you see any evidence while you were there of Israeli government involvement
or other,
with what was going on where you were?
No, it was basically we were just, you know, fighting against people defending their country, you know. People, their sister, brothers, or family been killed or wounded, and they pick up guns and try and kill soldiers.
Mm.
So I didn't see any of I haven't even heard of this before today, so it's pretty interesting to me.
Okay, well...
Well, I just want to say that the American people have been dumbed down incredibly so that they don't understand who is actually pulling the strings, who is making them go to war.
That's why they come to Canada, when they understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let them find out exactly that it's Israel that's committing this whole horrible act on these people. And Bush's brain, as you can find in Rents.com this week by Michael Collins Piper, is Nathan Sharansky. Bush has been quoted
Many
times as saying Nathan Sharansky.
I have that clip.
Disgusting. And you know why? Now there's oil coming from Mosul, which is in Iraq, into the Israeli port of Haifa. And all of the oil is going in there. It's militarized while all the other oil pipelines are being blown up. And this oil is being sold back to the Iraqis at a profit while they are sucking it out from underneath the Iraqis who don't even have running water. Mm. This is what the war was all about, guys. You died for an Israeli situation.
They're alive. Caller.
We don't have. I think Heather, you're a little bit confused.
I know.
When Johnny was on earlier and speaking from hell, the gentlemen that we have here are actually alive. they're alive. They actually made it back.
I realize they're alive.
Okay. I'm going to go back to hell now. Here I go. I'm going back to see Doc. Bye.
Well, that's the whole point of us coming up here, is that we realize that this is an unjust, illegal war. And so it's the whole snapping out of the brainwash, you know, from time you're little, it's raise your right hand to the national anthem and you cry and whatnot. And it's very patriotic, but just to snap out of the whole brainwash thing.
I noticed that you didn't stand when I played the national anthem. I noticed that.
So here's something. This is a little bit about what our caller was talking about. This is from a couple of weeks ago on our program. This is... where the heck is it? Hold on. I know where it is. This is on CNN's... You know who Wolf Blitzer is?
No idea.
You don't have no idea? Okay. CNN... you know what CNN is?
Yeah. I've heard it a few times.
Yeah, thank you. we play the MacGyver theme when I'm having trouble. I think we have somebody... Let's see. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Annie again.
Hi, Annie.
We're a little delayed on the internet radio here, but I wanted to comment on...
Yeah, you're going to hear the Johnny gag in a couple of minutes.
it's a good one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on the dumbing down of America.
Yeah.
So true. People are blind here. Yeah. Our media is so controlled.
Yeah. Isn't it great, Annie, that I've given you a special line that you can call into and that you can get on anytime you want?
Thank you.
That's the privileges of being Cliff's mother. Okay?
Is that the only privilege I get, though?
Well, I don't know. Do you want another privilege?
Johnny, you have the privilege of talking to Johnny from the other side.
Ah, Johnny, I love you.
I love you too, Annie.
My first wife.
Okay, so we're going to get back. We're going to get back to the show, okay?
I'm a real bastard.
Okay,
women.
I'll see you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. What a nightmare.
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
From bullets to ballots.
Oh, all right. So, this is Brent Scowcroft. Now, this was an associate of Bush and Kissinger. He appears on a show called Late Edition, which is on CNN on Sundays. It's a political program. And here's what Wolf Blitzer, the host of the program, asks Brent Scowcroft.
Let's talk about the situation between the Israelis and the Palestinians. In October 14th, in the Financial Times, you were quoted as saying this: Ariel Sharon just has him wrapped around his little finger. I think the president is mesmerized. When there is a suicide attack followed by a reprisal, Sharon calls the president and says, I'm on the front lines of terrorism. And the president says, yes, you are. He, Mr. Sharon, has been nothing but trouble. Did you say that?
Unfortunately, I did. It wasn't supposed to be for publication.
This was an off-the-record conversation?
Yes.
And so it got out there?
Yes.
But so explain to our viewers what you meant, and I assume you meant...
So Wolf knows all about off-the-record stuff, right? He knows that he goes to talk to people, and there's one thing you say on the air, and then there's views you hold privately with these people. So they're always lying to you, essentially.
Meant this, what you said.
Well, I think the best explanation I have is what Dov Weisglass gave as to what Sharon's strategy was.
He's an aide to the prime minister.
He's an aide to the prime minister, which was to get out of Gaza, because the Israeli position is pretty untenable, get out of one or two settlements, finish the wall, and then say, we're through. The administration has felt that Gaza was the first step in a program. And what I have been arguing is if Sharon has his way, it's not the first step, it's the last step.
But fundamentally, the question is this. Do you think Sharon has the president wrapped around his...
Well, that was... I would never have used that in public. Of course not. But what I believe is that Sharon appeals to the president and his attitude on the war on terrorism. And he says, I'm on the front line of that war. What the people after me are terrorists. What's the president going to do? No, they're not terrorists. And that, in that sense, the president plays into Sharon's plan.
What do you think?
Oh, I thought you were going to throw some embarrassing quote at me.
No.
Okay, this is Zbigniew Brzezinski, and he was the national security advisor, what Condoleezza Rice was to Bush. He was to Jimmy Carter.
I thought Brent's diagnosis was brilliant. And I think one should say publicly what one says privately. And I agree with him.
You agree that what? Be specific.
Whatever you cited him as saying. That works.
But that the president is basically controlled by Ariel Sharon?
Controlled is your word. I don't think he said that.
I'll repeat it. It says, Sharon just has him wrapped around his little finger.
That's about right.
That's about right.
And Sharon comes and whispers, terrorism, and the president is now pointing
But the Israelis
in the right
do
direction.
Face terrorism.
Of course. But this is not the whole problem. It is not the entire problem, and certainly not the global problem.
So there's one of the links that our previous caller was talking about between the how there's some sense in with U.S. relations that Israel controls a lot of what goes on politically in the United States and outside of the United States under United States control. You're on the air, CKLN.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to interject a sobering thought
for
Canadian listeners.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be so chauvinistic or complacent about the situation here in comparison to the U.S. The rich run the country here.
Mm-hmm.
Our media is controlled by media giants. Maybe, you know, not as extreme as the U.S.
Well, they're ready to link up with the media giants of the United States at any given time.
people in this country, as well as the U.S., if they really want to know what's going on, they have to know that they need to dig for it, and most people don't know that, here or elsewhere.
Right.
Yeah, that's all.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You actually went to the wrong country. You should have gone down to Cuba, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that might be a good place for you to go.
That's actually the second option if Canada fails.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
About what that guy was saying is that the difference between, you know, the states in Canada is Canadian people are willing to fight for what they want.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No?
No.
You haven't been here long.
No,
enough.
I don't think. We have a lot of traitors on our hands here. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Good, good. Bear with me here. I just kind of woke up and heard that footage, and it kind of shocked me just to see that it could be an Israel-American linkage there. It's interesting to see that the name Alawi comes from a Hebrew word means law.
Hmm.
And
He's a tough guy, strong guy. I think he's going to win the election. Think that's going to happen with the people there.
They're going to the polls.
The enforcer. The enforcer for bringing in their democracy, it seems. Just playing on those words there, it seems like, I don't know. And I think, as the other guy was saying just before me, you know, people got to dig deep. And I think I've been doing this for some time, and it's kind of scary, man.
Well, I'm glad that you were awakened by that clip, because I certainly was shocked when I saw it on American television.
Well, if you can get me a copy of that, I'd love to have it around.
We can get you a copy of that.
We can put it on video.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, we can put it. Yeah, we can, can't we? We've got that all on video. We'll put it on. Do you have a computer?
Yeah.
All right. We'll put it up on video.
On our website.
We'll do that sometime next week, and it'll be up there for everybody to see.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
No, Canadians, I mean, we can't lump, no more can we lump all Canadians together. We can't lump all Americans together.
Definitely.
And we have a lot of very, very influential traitors in our country.
No,
one of our former prime ministers absolutely was a traitor. And,
which one? Brian Mulroney.
Brian Mulroney. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
He looks like Jay Leno. If you ever see him, he's got this big thing going on down here in his lower jaw.
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Mara.
I'm really upset by what you're saying this morning, but I agree with it. You know what? You know I'm Jewish, right?
And no.
It upsets me. I know. I don't agree with what Israel is doing. I just feel...
Oh.
Can I just say something very personal?
No.
Are you going to hang up on me?
No.
I see the conflict in myself. I'm not at all religious. I've never been a religious Jew. But I notice when people put down Israel, I'm being very honest here, I get this emotional reaction that, like Heather, I assume she's anti-Zionist, not anti-Semitic. I just feel this, it's an interesting thing, this defensiveness in me, even though I don't agree with what Israel is doing. And you're probably right. And I'm very glad those guys are in Canada. They're going to get quite the education just being on your show today. Hi, guys.
Very enlightened.
Thank you for coming up here. You're going to hear a lot of stuff that's going to shock you. Anyway, I'm just tossing that out, Greg and Daniel.
But okay, I understand. You've had this feeling before. I don't think, you know, Mara, we have there's something that we have to discuss with you. Actually, I'm glad that you phoned in today.
Yes.
I think she was talking about the spaceman.
Yeah, now...
Yeah, Gary Bell on the Illuminati.
Yeah.
He wasn't on last night. I think they had a sports show on it.
Yeah. Now, you love that spaceman guy, right?
I don't love him. I find him disturbing and intriguing.
Disturbing.
I don't love him.
Now, how would you describe us?
I get upset, and you know that. When you say Saddam was a great, great leader, I can only assume for my own sanity that you're being incredibly sarcastic. And Stalin and Kim Jong-il, because you couldn't say the things that you're saying in those regimes.
I wouldn't need to say those things.
Oh, come on.
I wouldn't need to say those things. Why would I? If I lived in North Korea, would I have to be? I could say all. Are you saying I couldn't say things about Bush?
Yes. Of course you could.
There you go. Why would I want to complain about Kim Jong-il?
Maybe because you wouldn't have enough food to eat?
Yeah, but I don't think that is necessarily that leader's... I mean, the only reason that there's not enough food to eat in North Korea is that there's been a concerted effort by almost every country in the world to impoverish that country. And they have to either submit to capitalism or die. I mean, they're in a life and death struggle there. They, Cliff and Daryl have come here. Now, they realize they could go through a lot of misery as a result of their actions. Now, they've decided to take a course here. They don't know how it's going to turn out. They don't know how our government's going to deal with things. They don't know there couldn't be a change of government here that could be very disastrous to their well-being, to their lives. No, the thing is that in North Korea, if you're saying that Kim Jong-il is responsible for feeding his people, yes, he is. But the thing is that this isn't always necessarily the cause of the leader to grow food. I mean, I think they're doing the best they can. I mean, if I was in North Korea, I think I could criticize George Bush and the actions of these criminals just as much as I could do it here. The thing is that
you could go to Cuba and criticize Bush, and I would agree with that, obviously.
So,
in terms of a pecking order of severe dictators in the world, there's a lot of stuff that's wrong in Cuba, but Castro is a lot more humane than Saddam Hussein or Kim Jong-il or Stalin ever was, okay? I've been to Cuba, and the conditions are bad there.
Yeah, but you've never been to North Korea.
No.
Or Iraq.
But the thing is, I don't know. You see, you're fixated about North Korea only because, number one, I guess we talk about it. We actually discuss Kim Jong-il or the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. We, the DPRK, we discuss it in a positive light. You're not going to hear that anywhere else. And just as you tell these young men that have come from the United States that, oh, you're going to hear things that you've never heard before, well, you're hearing things on this station that you're never going to hear. And there are positive things going on in North Korea, and we're not allowed to hear them here because that's supposedly an enemy state. That's our concession to the United States, that we've got to be against North Korea. And Condoleezza Rice has the nerve in her confirmation hearing to say, oh, we give the most food to North Korea than any other country in the world. Well, we know why that is, because they tell everybody how much to give. They want as their excuse for starving those people out that they gave the most food aid. They tell us how much we can give. They tell China how much they can give. They tell everybody how much they can give there so that they're always the number one food supplier. Of course, it's not enough. It's not enough to alleviate the suffering or the problem that country has.
Mm-hmm.
And look at them with this tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
They want out of there as soon as possible because they don't want to help people. The thing is that
I agree with you about the United States trying to control the whole goddamn. Am I allowed to say goddamn?
Sure, of course you are. Just watch out for the F word.
Yes, okay. Well, apparently Norman Otis Richmond said yesterday you can say the F word on CNN.
Well, that's his. Okay. That's his view. Yeah. That's his view. That's his view. Wow. That is not our understanding of.
So
During this particular
you also
period,
can't say the N-word on this program either,
that's
by the
right.
way.
That's right. Although it does happen between the hours of, I don't know, whatever, the 7 and 11 at night.
What I'm trying to say is, hang on.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know for sure that the wool hasn't been pulled over your eyes as well? Well, like, in other words, comparing bad to bad doesn't make it good. In other words,
I don't think Kim Jong-il is bad. I don't think Kim
You want to know why?
Kim Il-sung was bad.
You want to know
hero,
why?
He's the hero of that country. Look at that tiny little country. And almost every country in the world has an axe to grind with it. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think it has an axe to grind because that Kim Jong-il is this evil guy? No, because they accept all kinds of horrible leaders for the people of the world. They don't like that country because they can't humiliate it.
And make money off of it.
They can't. They can't do it under the systems there. That country, I mean, you see the thing, amazing things that country can do with the limited resources. You look at Cuba, the amazing things it can do with the limited resources that they have, a third world country, under a blockade practically.
No.
It's incredible what you can do with. And the thing is, we've read things in their newspaper. We can say, oh, they don't have free newspapers or whatever the propaganda is. We've read their newspapers over our air, the things they say about Bush. You can't fault anything they say in that newspaper. It's absolutely true.
About Bush, I would totally agree.
Yeah, well, we don't. Well,
so where are they wrong? Where are they wrong, caller? And let me tell you something, caller. I'll tell you why we know that they're better.
It's narrow.
Because we're smarter than you are. You know that? We really are.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm smarter than you. Period.
Okay, can I just say something?
And furthermore, no. You know what? You can't say.
Should I hang up and listen?
No. We don't want you to hang up.
Listen to the following.
You're
I don't want you to,
Daniel.
I don't want you to ever phone again.
Now, there's a reason why we're saying this. Well, actually, Daniel is of that view. Actually, Daniel is of that view. I'm of the view that we need to send you to a re-education camp. All right? Now, you need to be re-educated. You are a prime candidate. You're almost there, Mara. I'll give you a lot of benefit. You came to a CKLN meeting, the annual general meeting. You're involved with the community. You're listening to a community radio station. You're actively sort of involved in discussion of political things. That's a good thing. The thing is that you just have to go that little step further. You need, and I think even you realize this. You say you've got these gut reactions to something.
Yeah, I'm being perfectly honest. Most people won't admit that.
But no, I think they'd admit that. The thing is I'm going to give you an example of the.
I've told you that I'm very anti what Israel is doing.
Okay. Nothing to do with Israel. Yes. This is an example of why you need to be re-educated. Just listen here for a minute. This is why we feel that you need to go to a re-education camp somewhere in Scarborough. That's like Siberia. They called Scarberia.
I do live in Scarborough, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay. I used to live. I'm from Scarborough. I spent most of my life in Scarborough. I'm from there. I was shocked when they called it Scarberia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so here is why Daniel and I finally came to the
Baptist church or something.
This is why we finally came to the realization that you need to go to a re-education camp. Please, Daniel, play that clip.
Left. Like, it's really, really pressing my buttons, I have to say. He also... Hello?
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry to hog the whole program.
That's okay. You know what's a good one, too, is that you listen to Greg and Daniel.
Oh, yes, but I get upset
Sunday
with them
morning.
Because they sing the praises of Kim Jong-il, and I really have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Dave Stalin was the greatest leader, one of the greatest leaders ever, and Kim Jong-il is as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you said that, but Shannon Robinson used to do the show with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
She quit after a few weeks or a couple months, and I wonder if it's because, like, if you challenge those guys, they just get angry. So does Gary Bell, because I've called Greg and Daniel's show quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
With you, I feel like I'm talking to real people who aren't going to scream at me.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
Daniel,
you don't need
Daniel
to trash someone
Greg
just because they disagree with you.
Daniel and Greg or something else, that's for sure.
Great.
All right.
Well, our show is almost up, but before...
Okay, now, Mara, that's why we finally came to the realization, because we heard that clip on the air.
Right.
Daniel monitors the station.
It was an awakening, right?
He monitors the station like the CIA monitors traffic over the internet. He's like my own personal echelon project.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
So remember that? That's a blast from the past. Huh? Now, so that's why we feel that you need to go into re-education camp, and why I'm going to give you like 3 months to work this out.
And excuse me?
We want to hear back from you in 3 months.
Oh, I'm not supposed to call the show again?
No. You're in re-education camp now.
I'll go to the Scarborough Pentecostalist Temple or whatever.
The reason why is because when you call up other programs and tell them that we don't treat you like a human being,
mm-hmm.
it's insulting.
Well, you're
it's insulting to me. It's insulting. You call in here,
yes.
going on your little diatribes of what's the spaceman. I mean, you treat us like aliens, and we're supposed to treat you like a human? I mean, what are you doing?
Daniel's right. He's saying you're making claims on the station that we don't treat you like a human being. I think
other programs.
I think not even
to us. You don't even call in here to us and tell us that we don't treat you like a human being.
No,
you call other programmers at some time in the morning that you think that we're not going to hear you. Ooh, I can say bad things about Greg and Dan, and they're not going to hear me.
Daniel, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes.
Okay.
How do you defend yourself now that
well,
you're conspiring against us?
To say anything.
Go ahead.
So I'll just hang up and let.
Oh no! You're too embarrassed to say something.
I'm not embarrassed.
Not embarrassed at saying that we don't treat you like a human being.
Don't.
How can you say that?
Scream at me.
How can you say that, Mara? We have treated you very well on this program. We've allowed you airtime. You've come on. We've listened, as Daniel says, to hearing about the Spaceman and Gary Bell, about other radio shows on our station. On another station. We've treated you very nicely. You've had a lot of airtime, and this is how we're treated? You say that we don't treat you like a human being? That's a pretty...
Very, Greg.
Yeah?
Please don't insult my intelligence.
Using the Condoleezza Rice. You're using the Condoleezza Rice thing. Don't impugn my integrity. Yeah.
You've gone down one step further here this morning,
you really need education. You really need re-education.
That's one more month.
Yeah, hold on. Here, is that microphone working?
I think.
What? Hold on. I'm here. Let's see if anything's working. Is that working?
Hello?
Yeah.
Is this working?
Mara.
Yeah,
ask her anyway.
Ask anyway.
Mara, if you're still out there listening, could you phone back and ask Cliff why he deserted the U.S. military?
We'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
I want to hear from Mara, too. I made her the caller of the day, that's for sure. And let's get back from bullets to ballots.
So, anyway, Mara is, she's banned
three
from the program.
3 months. 4 months for saying that, for insulting her intelligence.
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think Mara is just a little sensitive.
A little sensitive? Hey, you're not a sensitive person if you call in and call someone else non-human. That's pretty insensitive.
That we don't treat her like a human being.
Maybe not so courteous, but I don't think you're she's being treated like, she's not a human or anything like that. Like you said, she's about, probably 5% away of reaching where she needs to be.
Yeah, that's right. She's almost there. She just has to sit back for 3 months instead of calling us up and being involved in this whole Kim, being fixated about Kim Jong-il, the person
Hussein
that she doesn't know anything about. Yeah. She probably doesn't know that much about Saddam either.
Well, the interesting thing is that, Kim Jong, whatever I can't even say his name.
Kim Jong-il.
Does not have the media access here.
No, in fact.
But she's not, she should look at the fact of the inconsistencies of Bush. And from there, she will see that that's why Mr. Lee Young-jil
can't
get access to people here, right?
Yeah. No, he's not on the air. We're not allowed to see him speaking.
Exactly.
Can I say something about this?
Yeah.
Well, I raised up, that them people are bad, Saddam and Castro and all this stuff. That's what you always believe in the States. But then when my country, my government, sent me to a foreign land, where I was ordered to kill innocent people, where I saw my friends die, and I got a Purple Heart, I was injured in combat, and for what, money? So it's kind of like, dang, how bad really are these other countries? If my country did this to me, it kind of reminds me to maybe these guys aren't so crazy.
How did you get injured?
Did they give you free drugs?
No, I took shrapnel from a roadside bomb, so.
Wow.
So you saw one of those go off?
Yeah, like two of them, like right in my face, like 10 feet from me, so it was pretty big ordeal.
That is, I don't know, Mara, I think that you're on the right path. I think that you should look at the tools that are around you, see who's controlling them, and understand why you can't get access to certain facts about other, nations, because I don't know if she's has access to internet or whatever, right? But just knowing that, we're in the midst of their jungle, the concrete jungle, the United States jungle, their media. It's only a few independent people that's able to, push out some stuff, whether it be through tape, through internet, through their own, television stations or public service stations and stuff like that. There's not a lot of information that one can actually access when it comes to getting the truth. You just got to find a group of people who are into the same thing and, share some information.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, I'm going to go to a promo, I think, here. Let me see.
You think?
Well, I have trouble with that thing how do I do that thing where I get the, I copy the shortcut?
Yeah, I can't hear myself anymore.
Okay, where I turned you down a bit.
I've died.
Okay, how do you do that? Well, you copy the shortcut,
you right-click on the blue link, you go copy shortcut.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Then you go back to your Winamp.
Yeah.
Then you select add.
Yeah.
And you select file.
Oh, okay.
Then you go control V or you paste it right there into the file name. Then you click open. When we come back, we will be speaking with two American Army deserters.
Hold on. Annie's here. Just hold on.
Oh, the mother of one of the...
Hi, Annie.
No,
it's not.
No, it's not.
Oh, hi. Hello. You're on the air. CKLN, you're on the air.
I'm just concerned about... I'm not serious now, right?
this is one moment of seriousness on the program.
Fighters from the U.S. Army come back, and they demonstrate some kind of, change and stuff, right? They shell shock, right? Yeah. Some of them actually, do violent things, right? Yeah.
Well, you want to hear what? No.
Just wondering if, these two American soldiers here, come on, you don't want to have people possibly flip out, right? Being in war is pretty strenuous, right?
So, are you saying that that Daniel and I are in danger here in some way?
Man, watch out, I'm crazy.
Yeah, any of you two,
I kill somebody.
Any of you two, like, beat your wives or girlfriends or
no,
kill
it's
anybody?
More of a, no, it's more of an emotional thing, like, when I came back, you know.
Kill, these guys, like, actually, like, kill people, man. It's seen, like, horrific situations, right? Like, I mean, Fahrenheit 9/11.
Okay, don't worry, I have my Kevlar on. No problem.
I'm not free. I mean, is there any kind of debriefing going on here? You know, like, do you guys have to go any kind of medical debriefing? Like,
the whole week when you come back from Iraq, it's basically debriefing and making sure that they give you classes on you're not going to go home and beat your wife and stuff like that. So actually, the Army does do classes like that for you.
Yeah.
And, like, on the returning from Iraq, before you leave Iraq, you got to sign a paper saying that you will not speak to any media or speak in uniform at any political rallies.
How do you feel when you see a Muslim person just over here in North America? How do you feel like
that? Yeah. When I was in Iraq, I had interpreters that were Iraqi, and I was really my best friends over there. You know, you read the people, you feel for them, and I had no discrimination against. I've never been any.
You
kind
shot
of,
a gun.
So,
right?
So actually, like, you have no ill feelings towards any Muslims?
No, nothing to do with. I have no ill feelings towards Muslims or the Iraqi people or none.
But you would shoot Bush, right?
I'm already on the FBI's list.
Don't worry, I'll ask you questions.
You know, like, this is a very legitimate question, right?
Yeah.
And it has, you know, like, you've been in a war situation that you actually trained to actually just, like, you know, people who look like that, you know, like the whole brainwashing thing, right? So
very
citizen here, right? So
speaking of brainwashing, what are your passwords?
Passwords? My brainwashing passwords?
Yeah. Is there, like, a word I can say, like, you know, if I whisper
it into you? What, me back into it?
Yeah, like, is there something I can use?
I don't know. It's the whole,
like, you know, like, in Canada and stuff, you know, like, if the government can...
Ready? Here we go. Ready?
Oh, that's all good.
Chicken cross the street.
And I hope...
did that work?
Oh, I hope there's a lot more soldiers like yourself who's brave enough to... actually, you know, do the right thing, you know?
Yeah. What was the secret password in Manchurian Candidate?
Okay, so you guys have a good time.
Let's try that one. What was that one?
We're going to go to the break now, and we'll be back.
CKLN would like to thank all those who pledged their support during FunFest 2004. Thanks to your donations, CKLN can continue breaking new ground in 2005. If you made a pledge during FunFest and have not yet honored that pledge, there is still time to make your donation and receive a tax receipt for 2004. You'll also be entered into our grand prize draw, taking place live on air Friday, February 4th during the Jazz Zone program just before 11 a.m. Hurry, time is running out to qualify. You must pay your pledge by Monday, January 31st to win. For more information, please call 416-595-1477 or email funfest@ckln.fm.
Okay, you're back with the International Connection on CKLN 88.1. We're here with Daniel Bechert, my co-host.
Only one ad?
Cliff. Yes, only one ad. Cliff and Daryl, who are war resistors. And we're very thankful to a person that's made it possible to have Cliff and Daryl here today. And his name is Michael. And he's a listener to our program.
You want more?
And he's a big... And he's... Not only Michael is a not only is he a listener, but he's a substantial contributor to CKLN and in particular our program during FunFest. So I want to thank you very much, Michael, for that.
You like it that much?
Hold on. I got
to
get
every morning. I wake up to it.
You wake up to this show
every Saturday. Well, I listen to your CDs. I have them all queued up, and every day I wake up to your show.
Have you listened to those?
Oh yeah, of course.
Really? No, seriously. Have you actually listened to those?
Oh, yeah. And Cliff and I were just last night. I was introducing him to some of your material while we were drinking a great deal of Appleton rum.
That must be good.
Very good.
Okay, CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Hey, you know, a good movie to watch would be What I Learned About U.S. Foreign Policy. It's a documentary that talks about...
Yeah, I've heard about this movie.
And another one that's really good, JFK 2 and the Bush Family Connection.
Oh, who did that one?
I have no idea, but it's really informative. It talks about the assassination of Bush, the linkage.
Do you mean the assassination of Kennedy?
Well, don't get ahead of yourself.
that would be a prophecy, maybe. I don't know. But, it talks about the connection. It talks about the banks.
What does it say about the JFK and Bush linkage? Is it because George, the old man Bush, was in the CIA at the time and involved with the Floridian Cubans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It talks about that as well as it talks about Prescott Bush being, I guess, one of the executives of the Union Bank.
Oh, yes.
It also talks about how Bush Sr. Claims that he wasn't involved in the CIA in 63.
Right.
It also makes reference to a question. Where was Bush Jr. For those 3 days when JFK Jr. was murdered or killed?
Yeah, I've always thought that they finished off JFK Jr.
Yeah.
I think it's obvious that they finished him off because he was the only threat to George W. Bush coming to power in 2000.
And a good person, if you can get in contact with him, would be, what's his name? I think his name is Joseph Kennedy or something. Joe Joseph Kennedy or something. One of the Kennedy family. He actually was on internet radio at York.
Oh, yeah?
About a month and a half ago, and he was talking about it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, we'll try and do it.
All right, I'll keep you guys posted.
Okay, thanks.
Give you some notes.
Oh, you're not up? I'm sorry, Daniel. Daniel does, sorry.
How old are you two?
Just I'm 22 years old.
And you? I'm 24.
Wow, you're like younger than I am.
So, Cliff, we haven't heard from you much. Tell, and Annie, your mother, probably wants to hear you actually speak. So, tell us, what made you get...
What kind of family do you come from? I mean, just, you know, people in the military.
Like, where are you from? What, yeah. You're from Arkansas, right?
Yes.
And...
have you met Clinton?
No.
Daniel did.
I did. I called him a war criminal.
Yeah. Daniel actually had a fairly long conversation with Clinton in the summertime when he came here to sign books. They had a debate, a very intellectual debate, which unfortunately was not recorded on tape.
Safe, National Post cover, though.
Yeah, National Post cover. He got on the National Post. Zionist-controlled media in Canada.
Aspers?
The Aspers, yeah. So, Cliff, what made you... When did you join the military? What force did you join?
I was in the U.S. Army. I joined back in November 11, 2002.
I
joined in January 2003. Army.
So, Cliff, what was your reason for getting involved in that?
Joining the Army. I joined the Army basically to get an education and to make something of myself.
Yeah, and
one of them last resort type things that I need to do something. I'm 20 years old, so it's kind of get money for college thing.
Right, and you didn't see that there were many opportunities for you in the society that you lived in.
No, there's not really many jobs back where I come from. It's a pretty small town.
Right.
And most of the time in my town, you have to have some type of college education in order to get a good job.
Yeah.
Well, my thing was...
Cliff is from American Dream, Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I got a 4-year-old daughter, and so to better my life and get an education and take care of the same time, it looked kind of impossible. So it was like, let's do this. It's what I felt like, you know, I could handle it to get what I want out of life, but not at that cost.
So, Daryl, you're talking January 2003.
Yes.
And Cliff, you were no.
I was in November
2002. So the United States was they weren't yet in the war. What did you think? Did you think they were going to go to Iraq?
No, I thought there was. I thought, you know, my country wouldn't be that stupid in a sense. You know, I didn't think they'd do something that crazy.
And were you knowledgeable about the massive troop movements they were making there at the time?
No, I spent a year in training, so I had no clue. And right when I got out, they sent me straight to Iraq. So I had no TV, no contact with non-military people, just everyday training. So.
From January 2003 to January 2004?
Yeah, like December 2003, so...
You were very cut off. Where was your training done?
I was in Georgia, Texas, and Oklahoma, all over.
Tigerland.
How about you?
You go to Tigerland? Real? Is Tigerland real?
No.
You don't know? You've never heard of that?
Here, we'll take a call. Maybe someone's interested here and has a good question. Hopefully. CKLN, 88.1, you're on the air.
I was just listening to my brother. They were talking about Georgia. Is that where they have the School of the Americas?
Yeah.
Yeah, was he a part of that?
Have you heard of the School of the Americas?
No. I've heard of it. Actually, I've heard about this. Something where they train people to torture people or something like that?
Something to that effect, yeah.
I
think they changed the name of it, didn't they?
I'm not even sure. Yeah, well, it's a new location. I can't remember where it was before. I don't know if it was somewhere off the island of Cuba or something, and then they brought it down to or up to Georgia somewhere. Forgot the name of the place.
Now, Cliff, you didn't see Judy, did you?
Judy, you didn't. No.
Did you see Judy?
No.
Did you go out into what? No, you didn't. Okay.
How did you avoid it so long? Yeah. Since you got in earlier.
I really don't know. When I got to my first duty station, which was Fort Stewart, Georgia, my unit was already deployed over there.
Right.
And because I got there so late, I didn't have to go.
So what made you decide that that you had to leave? What was the decision?
Basically, I mean, I've heard a lot of stories from people who was over there the first time.
Right.
And when I went home for Christmas leave, my family back at home, I mean, I've been pretty well in the dark about a lot of stuff because, I mean, I don't have cable or didn't have cable, so I didn't really know what was going on. And my family back at home, they kind of talked to me and informed me on what's really going on. Mm. And I just heard stories from other people who's been over there, and I didn't want to be part of it.
Did you meet Donald Rumsfeld?
No.
Now, what about the other
one? No, you need to know that a big enemy of the international connection is what convinced Cliff to come here.
Really?
Who's our big Michael Moore.
Oh, Michael Moore. I don't know whether he's an enemy.
There's another one that's really good video that people should try and get is the Carlisle connection.
What is this, a show of plugs? Everyone calling in here for plugs.
Yeah, get information about where I can get these things. I've heard about
it. I think it's going to be the next topic with Frank McKinnon, man.
All right. No more plugs for the rest of the show.
All right, thank you.
If you have questions for the guests, call in at 416-595-1000.
Thank you. Or otherwise, international connection at rogers.com. You can send us any information about these videos and things like this that we should see.
Jesus.
And so on. Getting back to now again, we have Daryl and Cliff with us, who are. Hold on, Daniel.
Okay.
Let me just explain who's here and what we're doing.
Yeah.
We have Daryl and Cliff with us, who are from the United States, and they have left their positions with the U.S. military illegitimately, as far as the United States government is concerned, and are here in Canada as our guests, and we're hoping that we can protect them here from the United States government.
Or from our government.
Yeah. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question to Cliff and Daryl.
Please.
Cliff and Daryl, did you know and are you aware of the fact that the Arabs didn't do 9/11, that your own government did 9/11 with Israel?
What do you think about that, 9/11? Who did it?
I've started, you know, because I was in the dark for so long, but being out, you know, it's a possibility. I mean, I know it wasn't Iraqis, that's for sure.
Right.
I went there and I saw that there's no Taliban, nothing there. So I know that part's true. There's none of that in Iraq. So what was the reason for going to Iraq? So
your Office of Special Plans in the Pentagon did it with the Israeli Mossad.
Did
and
you go to the Pentagon?
Tons of information to prove this.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Interestingly, I left that as a possibility on the September 11th, 2001 on CKLN. I left it as a possibility.
Yeah, well,
that it was not necessarily Arab terrorists, that it could as well have been the Mossad.
Well,
Heather, you seem to believe that it was
tons of information. I've done a lot of research. They actually did it, okay? The Mossad and the Office of Special Plans.
Email us.
9/11.
Email us. Well, email us all.
Okay. So now, Daryl, where are you from originally?
I was born in California, but I lived in Lexington, Kentucky, where I did most of my schooling.
Right. Where were you born in California?
Upland. I lived in Rancho Cucamonga, California, okay. Actually.
Cucamonga. Ever heard that in cartoons?
Bugs Bunny, of course.
Always a cartoon connection. You're on the international connection. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Hey, I wanted to ask your guests, the deserters or
conscientious
objectors.
Daryl and Cliff, yes.
About something that I heard, Michael Moore said in his movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, that most of the service members of the U.S. Army or the military are minorities, like blacks or Hispanics, or they are disproportionately composed the U.S. military. But then Tucker Carlson said on TV, I think it was CNN, I'm not sure, that he got it wrong, that most of them are young white people with college education, so maybe they have some experience about that.
Yeah, that guy was totally wrong. Yeah, it is mostly minorities and people of lower education and, you know, just trying to better their lives. That's what 80-90% of the Army is kids that really were troubled youths, didn't really have money, family didn't have money to send them to college, and it is a lot of blacks and Mexicans and Puerto Ricans that are the main buildup of the Army.
And that's how they advertise it, right? That they don't advertise that you're going to go and kill people.
Yeah.
They advertise that you're going to learn a skill.
Yeah. Well, they told me, no, you signed this contract to do what defend your country, whatever. Yeah, but I didn't. No contracts. It's nowhere to say I'd be killing innocent people for money. So
now you two are both white. Just to
yeah.
So you saw your compatriots or your fellows over there were mostly of minorities.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
There is a good number of young white kids in there, but it's pretty good mix. It's not just like a bunch of college kids over there fighting this war.
Basically, it could be said safely that it's disproportionate to the regular population that you see, right?
Yeah.
Might not be in a few years.
So Tucker Carlson lying. He lied about Canada, and he lies about everything he can get his hands on, because that's his job. His job is to lie.
If you see a man on television wearing a bow tie who's young, do you take him seriously?
No.
Okay. Right. Any other questions for our guests?
No, not right now.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Now, Daryl, you were actually in Iraq. You shot a gun?
Yes, M16, 50 caliber machine gun.
You were ordered to shoot at people?
Yes, I refused, though. I had refused in combat to fire upon. We were under fire for a couple hours, and... Yeah. A few soldiers had fallen and died, and a car came upon his position, and they said, sparks came from the car, and they were, why aren't you firing? Fire. And I was like, I'm not in any danger. It's all right. And then the windows rolled down. There was kids in the back seat, the mom and dad, and I was like, look, it's innocent people. I made the right decision. They said, next time, doesn't matter. It's our protocol. You open fire.
Do you think that I was thinking about if I had a gun shooting women and children, wouldn't children be easier to shoot because they have disproportionately larger head to their body? And they run slower. You could actually shoot at children more rapidly and more quickly to take them
all out. Why they like to do that over there.
Yeah.
That's why they order that. It's just easier.
It's easier to shoot.
Get your confirmed
children.
Kill radius. I mean,
What was your kill?
There was two times that I was supposed to fire upon people and I refused because none of them had a gun pointing at me.
Right.
Thank you. I want to shake your hand.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of soldiers, they've been over there so long. Wives have left them. Their friends have died. And it's an aggression thing. You know, you stub your toe, you hit the counter. You know, it's like that. And you can't blame these soldiers, these 18-year-old boys.
No, I'm not blaming them.
You got to blame the government who's
in
charge.
Of course.
I just want people to, you know, you see a soldier, don't be like, oh, you this and that.
I don't think that this whole idea in the United States, I guess, about the Vietnam business, it's hard for me to relate to that on American terms, because it almost seems like the U.S. government at the time during Vietnam directed the anger about the failure to take over Vietnam. They directed the anger of the public away from the government onto the soldiers somehow. Well, I don't think that the people... I certainly, as a Canadian, I didn't look at the soldiers coming back I thought, great, they're out of there.
Yeah.
But, and I would think most people would. I don't know what mindset would have it that, we've got to win, quote unquote, we've got to win in Iraq or else, our soldiers are going to be looked down upon. I guess it's viewed like a football game. It's like, oh, our side lost, therefore we don't have a parade for our players, right?
Yeah.
And basically, the whole point of winning in Iraq is so they can have a big parade.
Yeah. Well, the actual, I think more people would call it a victory if, you know, we choked up our pride and pulled out of Iraq. That would be a victory in itself to see this supposedly powerful government say, you know what, we're wrong, we're pulling out. That would be a victory in itself right there.
Now, Daryl, they say that they're building the largest U.S. embassy in the world in Baghdad. Did you see any activities, any construction going on there to build this edifice?
No, destruction maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, I was around Hussein or his palace that he had there.
Yeah.
So I was right around there in the Baghdad area, but, I mean, they helped build up a couple buildings they'd blown up, but no mass construction.
Did you call it an air raid?
No.
Ever call in air support?
Called for backup. We didn't really have air support. It was pretty much, you know.
When did you actually get to Iraq?
It was January 13th of 2004.
Yeah.
Around there.
And how long were you there?
7 months.
7 months.
My unit was there like a year and 4 months, but I was in training like Cliff. But when I got to my unit, they sent me out.
What was it like when you got there? What was the mood of your fellow soldiers, the people who'd been there for a while?
Oh.
What kind of discussions did you have? What kind of was there much debate, or did you have to keep your mouth shut pretty much?
Well, I just thought these guys were, you know, crazy. They'd been there so long already, and, you know, they treated me so bad, you know, for entertainment. You know, what are they going to do? Let's make the new guy do push-ups or stand out in the 100-degree weather and hold a pole up or make him do all the, you know. It was basically like just getting picked on, and because people were so already messed up in their head, you know.
What's it like wearing all that gear in that heat?
Oh, it's terrible because, I mean, your bulletproof vest is like over 50 pounds, and then you got your gear with your seven clip magazines full of rounds, and you got your M16, your Kevlar, your T-shirt, your DCU top, you got boots on, you're just melting. You just sit out there and melt.
Do they have good prostitutes in Iraq?
I did not see any.
No.
I talked to a few of the interpreters. He said they got some $5 ones downtown.
Hookers, yeah.
But I don't think I'd venture that road.
What about drugs? Are there drugs there?
No, I didn't see any drugs. I mean, there's always a few incidents, you know, but
yes,
there's
Oh, Andy here.
Oh, hi, Andy.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt, Daryl. Daryl, this is Andy here. Daryl, I'm looking at the article in the paper yesterday, the Toronto Sun. That's a nasty piece of business on the side of you, that shrapnel.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you think of the story? You think it was good?
It was a good story, yeah. I've read it a couple of times. A nice story here.
Yeah.
But I just read this, and that picture on the front page, where's that taken in the Toronto Sun? Where's that picture?
At a place I'm staying at.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. All right.
Andy. If people want, I do have a nice little place to stay with people from the Quaker religion. Nice place to set me up. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing fine, you know.
Well, is Andy still there?
All right. I'll continue.
Andy, Michael wants to say something to you.
Yes, yes.
What did you think of the picture of Daryl with the bust of Saddam Hussein?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I don't know who's smiling more. Daryl, you got a nice smile on your face.
Yeah. So if you ladies are listening, you know, nice smile. You know.
Did they force you to smile when they took that picture?
No, it was me and my buddy were out there like, we got Saddam's head, let's take a picture. I mean, there were some other ones where I was pointing my weapon at him or
give
him the good old, you know, this and that.
The one finger salute.
Yeah.
Bust home with them.
If you're anywhere, listen, this is just a program note for later today.
Yes.
If you're anywhere close to a TV set, 10 o'clock tonight on CBC, The Passionate Eye, Journeys with George.
Oh, yeah.
Journeys with George. I'm going to watch it again.
Oh, there's plugs. I thought I said no plugs.
Just kill a Sunday night, for God's
sake. Get out of here.
Just kill a Sunday night.
Well, get out of here.
Since you're plugging out there, if anybody wants to support, we have a whole War Resisters campaign.
Yes, go ahead.
And
yeah,
so
get phone numbers. That's worthwhile.
I think it's www.warresistors.ca. I don't know.
.ca.
Yeah. So we have a support group and we have meetings and I give speeches. So
can I just give you a quick suggestion?
Yeah.
If you come to a radio show, you can do a plug. Have the plug in front of you so you can read it. So it's not War Resisters.
I'm a young man, you know.
You're just a young War Resister.
I need to go to that school too.
I can scare these two. You want to hear? Listen to this.
Oh, wait a minute.
Here is a special message from Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld to the men and women of the U.S. military, recorded earlier at the Pentagon.
They're shaking. Do you see that? I have them shaking. Anyway.
What is the message?
No, I just have that.
Oh.
So,
That was lame.
Oh, so, Cliff, during training, did they put you on any drugs?
No, but they gave us a lot of vaccines, so anyway, that's what they said.
A lot of shots?
Yeah, I've been sick in like 2 years. I've had smallpox, anthrax vaccines, 6 different other things. They pump you up a lot of shit.
You can't... We excuse the language there.
We don't know what we can say.
Yeah, we don't know anymore.
We don't know anymore.
Are you allowed to resist any of the injections?
No,
you're not allowed to, are you?
If you... you have to take them all because if you refuse to take any shots, they can... court-martial you.
They can court-martial you for refusing the drug.
Refusing or it's called refusing a direct order.
Mm-hmm. CKLN. They phone in and... okay, here we go. Here we're going to try it again. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to the American War Resisters and let them know if they
they need a place of refuge, my basement might be available.
I don't think they want your face.
So, actually, the Warriors campaign takes down names of people that can house. So if you get on that site and you can...
Yeah, but you're more likely to die in his basement than you are in Iraq. So.
How many... Michael's told me there are about 8 people that he knows of. Is that about it right
Well,
now?
They're banned... No, for like the last year, there was a few that came up here like a year ago, but no one came up until me and Cliff had came up. So it's a hard decision to make. I mean, you're giving up... You can never go back to the United States. Yeah. Like, I have a daughter. I don't know if I can ever see my daughter again, and... You know, you're basically it's a hard decision to make.
I wonder whether they're going to start putting up exit controls in the United States, because the reason that you were able to come here is because essentially they don't control who goes over that border, right? I'm wondering if they're going to start putting up border control on their side.
I wouldn't have known.
I'd see if there was a boom, I could see a possibility. You never know what the U.S. government's going to do next.
But I do know that right now those. A lot more people in the States that are AWOL and is hiding out in the States.
In America.
America.
Yeah.
And they, that's pretty rough because, it don't take much for someone to turn you in. Yeah. You won't be able to get a job down there.
Yeah.
And you're basically living off of whoever you're hiding with.
Yeah.
Or you're applying for Canadian.
And then they're at risk, right?
Yeah.
Well,
that person would be at risk.
The thing was, do I want to go down to Mexico? Do I want to hide out at home? Once I made the decision, there's no way I could go back. But I wanted to have a chance for a life. You know, I wanted to have a chance to have a job and become a productive citizen and be, a human being again, basically. My rights to be a human being, to have a job.
So where'd you go?
That's what came to Canada.
Oh.
Sorry. It's funny. It's interesting. Interesting you should say that. Neither Daniel nor I have jobs.
Yeah, we do.
We're completely unemployed. Yeah. We have, this is our community service that we're doing. So we tell ourselves every week. And
but at least you guys have fun.
That's right.
Do you think I'd be here on an 8:30 on a Sunday morning?
Right.
I know I'd have a little bit of fun.
Cliff.
CKLN doesn't force them to take shots against their will.
No, we don't.
How do you know that?
CKLN, we take shots in Ron Anisich almost every week. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm still on. I just wanted to say something.
Oh, yeah, keep going.
Just wanted to say something to your Axis of Evil listeners.
Yes, thank you.
Boycott the election. There can be no democratic election under conditions of military siege or colonial occupation. Mm-hmm. And that includes don't vote for the Communist Party of Iraq, because there's evidence they collaborated with the Alawi stooge government.
Yeah, I see that too.
Really?
I saw that too.
No.
Yeah, I saw that too. They have on their website.
Is that the Workers' Communist Party of Iraq?
I think it's the Communist Party of Iraq.
Okay, I know people here in Canada from the Workers' Communist Party of Iraq.
That's better.
Okay, we like we think that we like the Workers' Communist Party
of
Iraq.
That's whom you should vote for.
That's
Iraq
for whom you should vote. If there's anybody who's listening, in the unlikely event there's anybody listening out there from the Workers' Communist Party of Iraq, I've met them at protests around here. Do phone in and give us information.
Did you see all those expatriates on television voting?
So the communists, they've gone with Alawi.
Yeah.
The good guy, strong guy.
Strong guy, he's a good guy.
Good guy, strong guy. Okay, thanks very much for that information.
Do you want to hear our stream if I can get it up and running?
What, to see how late it is?
Yeah, how late our delay is.
We're going to listen to how late our stream is.
Let's see if I can get that.
Meanwhile, I'm going to go over here. Oh, we're going to take another call. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air. Hold on, Andy, hold on.
Sure. CKLN, we take shots in Ron Anisich almost
every week. Not that late. CKLN 88.1. Okay. Yes, Andy, again, what do you have to say?
Well, it's about Daryl there. Daryl was expressing thoughts about his future, and I listened closely to the radio there. And, Daryl, you just do what the U.S. Army tells you to do. Be all you can be, Daryl. That's what my positive note to you is, because that's what they throw in your face when you join the Army. Be all you can be. You did the right thing, and you said, I'm going elsewhere to be all I can be. And
right. Good.
And
Cliff and Daniel, or Cliff and Daryl did that. I just cut Andy off. I don't know why I did that. I thought he was done. So
that's better.
Okay, we like we think that we like the Workers' Communist Party
that's
of Iraq.
Whom you should vote for.
That's
Iraq.
For whom you should vote. Okay, I'm going to go back to some of the clips here. And this we were about an hour ago.
A few questions.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Who is the highest U.S. Army or Pentagon official either of you have met?
Just in the Army, like a major or whatnot, that's it. That's how
major. Would I know them? Like someone who I might know in the media?
Oh, no. Just
Who's the highest U.S. government official you've ever met, like non-military? Did you meet anybody?
No, I never met anyone. No?
One time I thought I saw Gore at a McDonald's, but that's about it.
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Greg, happy new year.
Hey, Bob, we haven't heard from you in a long time.
No, I got a couple of interesting stories.
He's dying from cancer in New York.
Oh. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
What did he say?
I don't know. Just carry on.
That I got cancer in New York?
he says you're dying of cancer in New York. But anyway, please, I don't know why Daniel would say something.
That's true. I mean, Daniel knew that?
I don't know. He knew that. He did know that. Bob, please tell us your interesting information. This is Bob Dobbs. He's a very important part of our program.
I'm the reason why they're having so much fun.
It's true.
Actually, the show,
I must say, it is true.
To allow this kind of programming.
Thank you for sanctioning it.
I have one serious note and another not so serious.
Okay.
The serious note.
You're going to take the serious note first.
Yeah,
all right.
The serious note is we may not be able to get a chance to go into it this week. I will not be available for many weeks. I'm going to L.A. next week for a few weeks, but we'll see. The serious note is I was in Toronto over the holidays while you weren't there, Greg.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I have a friend who's in the CBC, and I went to her party. Guess who was at the party?
Shannon.
You're right.
Really?
Yeah, she's a friend of this person, Elizabeth. I won't give her last name.
Yeah.
And I recognize Shannon because I'd seen her picture on your site.
Well, right? We make everybody famous.
Yeah, so I introduced myself, and she was quite taken aback, but we got talking. We were just talking about CKL in general.
Oh,
I didn't want to say much. Just wanted to see what she would say.
Oh, great.
But
yes.
What happened is that Elizabeth came over.
Yeah.
And she heard us talking, and she had something she wanted to tell her friend Shannon that had been percolating. This is in retrospect for me. Been percolating because she had never really said anything to Shannon before. So she started talking about, she had heard Shannon on the show, and she said, "You don't sound good on the show. You're out of your, you're over, it's not a good, there's no context for you.
No.
You're not putting much input in it. And I think it really is bad that you're on the show. And, in retrospect, I think that's what influenced Shannon."
Oh, the whispers in
but
the
you
ear.
But you mean, this was before she quit?
Yeah.
When were you up here?
The December 27th, 28th.
We were
on vacation technically at that time.
Yeah, I was up here. I was up there for the holidays after Christmas, and she taped the 19th and the 26th with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
January 3rd or 2nd.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, that was all pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Right. And did she do the second? Because maybe she...
No. She didn't. She never came back after the new year.
No.
But she didn't do the second, right. Well, so I saw her after she did her what turned out to be her last... And I would agree. Shannon couldn't... There wasn't a context, and she definitely didn't agree with so much. And one thing that I thought personally might have bugged her was when Daniel said during one show, kind of proposed to her. He said something like, "Well, you know, you like me, or we should get together, or you know, there was some romantic thing." And you said, "Greg, oh, we're not going to talk about that." Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think that I don't know what's gone between them, but I think that bugged her.
Uh huh.
So she never said anything about it at the party. But I think this Elizabeth really, really influenced. Said, "Look, it doesn't. You don't sound good on there." And I just sort of nodded, you know, pleasantly. I wasn't going to get involved.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's someone she respects, an older person, CBC, and it wasn't good for her being on that show.
Well, that's what they all respect is the CBC. They want more of that CBC stuff.
Now, the not-so-serious note I want to say to your guest is that in a post-literate society, there is no truth. And this is what they're going to have to live with the rest of their days. There is no capital T-R-U-T-H, which is a literate construct. We don't have a way...
This is the not-so-serious part?
That's my not-so-serious statement. No, the Shannon was the serious statement.
Oh yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead.
But the not-so-serious for your guests, is interesting hearing what they have to say, is to remember this. That as they go around looking for something to hold on to, they're not going to find it. In the information world, that is something they're going to have to live with.
I'm Shannon Robinson.
You know, even I didn't understand
that. Thank you, Bob.
That.
Thank you, Bob. I'm glad that was the not-so-serious part
Shannon
of the show.
Robinson. Yes. I'm Shannon Robinson. Okay. I'm Shannon Robinson.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll be in L.A. I'll be doing GLOW on the L.A. radio. And
I'm Shannon Robinson.
there are no jobs for anybody. These guys should start to learn from you guys how to have a good time while Steve being alive in Canada.
Yeah, well, thank you, Bob. I think that's that really is the answer.
Yeah, I think I've been getting out with some Canadian folk and having a pretty good time. Say, last night, round about after the 6th, 7th drink, I was like, am I really going to make this show tomorrow?
Well, we're glad you're here.
By the way, I only have fun on this show. The rest of my life is boring and uninteresting.
Boy, our Saturday nights are
our
really
lives
vicious.
Are just dead.
You know, we just sit there at a computer going, you know, clips like this. There were, it's turning and awaiting Bob. These are the clips we do. Here.
The worst is that Iran is a noted sponsor of terror. They've been the prime backers of Hezbollah over the years.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah. Who? You're asking me?
No, Bob. You know who that is. Do you know who that is, gentlemen? This is your vice president.
Oh, and they have, in fact,
Dick Cheney.
So I just heard about this. They're
Dick.
Really, are they planning? Are they saying that Iran is a threat and they're thinking about going in there,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. Here it is.
Was this like a world domination thing? Yep.
Yeah. You've got it.
The is that Iran is a noted sponsor of terror. They've been the prime backers of Hezbollah over the years. And they have, in fact, been used to terror in various and sundry ways to kill Americans and a lot of other folks around the globe, too. And that combination is of great concern.
I like how they use the word folks. They're always using folks.
I believe
the terrorists are folks. The people who are killed are folks. Just plain folks.
Well, that's because they're not human.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, with the whole Al-Siders army that had a big uprising when I was there, he was from Iran, I believe. Saddam came from Iran or two, something like that.
You were talking about U.S. domination. Did you go to the McDonald's in Baghdad? Did you try that one?
No, we had a Burger King on one base that I'd been
to,
but I didn't see no McDonald's in Baghdad.
No, by the way, you're wrong. There's no such thing as American domination. That's false.
It's a Halliburton-owned franchise of Burger King on
try to address those issues diplomatically and continue to work with the Europeans. At some point, if the Iranians don't live up to their commitments, the next step would be to take it to the U.N. Security Council and seek the imposition of international sanctions to force them to live up to the commitments and obligations they've signed up to under the Non-Proliferation Treaty. And you look around the world at potential trouble spots, Iran's right at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah.
Would that mean us again?
I think it means a serious effort to use the...
Why don't we make Israel do it?
Oh, did you hear that?
Why don't we make Israel
Why
do
don't
it?
We make Israel do it?
Why don't we make Israel bomb Iran?
All right.
Let's hear that again.
I think it means a serious effort to use the...
Why don't we make Israel do it?
Well, one of the concerns people have is that Israel might do it without being asked.
There you go. Now, Nostradamus has said... Nostradamus is a great prognosticator from the future.
Kind of like Karnak the Magnificent.
Yeah. He says that Israel will, is going to...
By 2005.
By the end of 2005. We'll drop a nuclear weapon. We'll use nuclear weapons.
In the Middle East.
Yeah.
That if, in fact, the Israelis became convinced the Iranians had significant nuclear capability, given the fact that Iran has a stated policy that their objective is the destruction of Israel, the Israelis might well decide to act first.
Dear
and,
God.
See, the reason, so what you hear here is that there's a blackmail. Israel might act first. So instead of Israel acting first, the United States will act first.
Again, with this whole weapons of mass destruction, they fooled me once on this before. I'm going for it this time.
Believed it, huh? Did you believe the whole?
No, I didn't know. They were looking for it when I was in training, so... I went over there. I saw no weapons.
Did you see people digging in sand? Did you see dogs? Did you have special sniffer?
Kids with AK-47s that don't work.
Did you have sniffer dogs who were meant to sniff out weapons of mass destruction?
No,
they give them a piece of weapons of mass destruction to sniff on and go, okay, I got it. And then they head out for it and start digging in the sand. You know, I figure that they think, I was talking to some Republicans down in the United States who are right behind Bush. In fact, you know how when he goes somewhere, he always has these adoring throngs at these meetings he has? Like he goes to some place and there's always a group of people there who are bowing down to him? This is how he avoids having a protest. He went to Cleveland on Thursday when I was down in the United States. A guy, I just happened to have lunch with somebody that is a staunch Republican, And the guy who was working with him, while he was away from the table, said, oh, you know, George got a call from the RNC, Republican National Committee, yesterday morning, Thursday morning, at 11 o'clock, saying, inviting him to a luncheon with Bush. So that's how he does it. They do it right on the spur of the moment so that they don't know, you know, they get information and direct people where to go
instantly.
To a secret location almost instantaneously. And I'm sure they pay people to fill it up a bit. Nice. But they do want the converted to be there and to pray to Bush. But
now we're at the end of the program.
Yeah, we are.
Let us all bow our heads in
okay.
prayer.
All right, here we go. Pray. As atheists, we're going to pray now.
Dear God, have you ever met an atheist before? Ever met an atheist?
Have you ever met
right
an
here.
Atheist? Like someone who didn't believe in God?
Yeah.
Have
oh,
you?
You have?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Where did you meet them?
Cliff is a pagan, you know.
Are you? You're a pagan?
No.
Oh, Cliff's a pagan.
Cliff.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
well,
a pagan.
I mean, I was raised, you know, against, you know, because the church system was so bad in the States that it wasn't a question of do I believe in God. It was just I didn't believe in the church.
Right.
That's what the whole thing was. I never had a religion or whatnot.
So let's bow our heads.
Okay.
Dear God, dear Jesus Christ, Lord, mm-hmm. Savior. Okay. Let Dick Cheney's heart finally die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let George Bush finally make a correct English sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And let this program continue on in its ever glory. And we like to thank our American friends for coming up.
Yes.
And we wish
yes.
them well here in Canada.
Uh-huh.
As our fascistic Canadian government hopefully won't send them back to America.
We're 100. Let me just state right now, Daniel. I'm speaking for you.
Go ahead.
I want to say that at the very least, we're right behind you. All right. And we'll do everything in our power. If you start running into trouble,
not
here,
in the physical sort of way. You understand?
No. Right.
I don't mean that way.
We're gonna. We'll do everything in our power to assist you in any way we can.
Well, on the air and with the show.
On the air and with the show. Yes.
My week is.
Yeah. Right. I know. Yeah. Yeah. And. So this is our end theme. It's called Adios Muchachos. We lead into a program called Aquí Nuestra America.
Adios, on time.
When we move into the new station, I want everybody to know there is a plan afoot that the shows will end absolutely at the right time, and we are prepared with systems to do so. All right?
We're good.
I just want to say that. I don't know when we're going to move into the news. Oh, sorry, Bob. Hello. I've almost forgotten about you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that my silly statement about there's no truth, that applies to what Heather says about September 11th. She has no idea, and any information she's using is erroneous. I'm the one who knows. It's on the web. You can hear what happened.
Right.
Heather doesn't never knows what she's talking about because she believes in her...
Boy, you have a... You know, she... You,
yeah,
you said something
in
on
her
the...
Bloom and information. That's where she makes her mistakes.
You said something on the show right before we went away for the holidays.
Yeah, I challenge her. We got to have a...
I know. And we'll be able to do that on in the new station when we have phones that can accept two lines.
That can work.
I want to thank...
Also, have you talked to David Bochner about my issue with him?
I have not. I want to thank Cliff and Daryl for coming. I want to thank Michael for bringing them here and allowing us to the privilege of having them.
Website
warresistors.com.
CA. Warresistors.ca.
Go to our website. There's so much we didn't get to today. I have about 40 clips here that I didn't play, but hopefully you enjoyed the program today. I want to thank all of our callers for phoning in.
Adios, muchachos, ya me voy y me resigno contra el destino.
And as I said, Aquí Nuestra America is up next. I'm probably going to play their commercials for 11 o'clock, get that over with. Here's a sad bit.
Mi cuerpo enfermo. No resiste.
Resistema? Did you hear that? The war resistors. Okay.
Political refugees.
In the movie Fast Runner.
They are the last word from Bob Dobbs, and we will be back.